Well, good morning and happy Sabbath, Wantirna Church. It's great to be here again. I have been away from Wantirna for a few weeks, just doing some engagements again all over Melbourne, really. 2 weeks ago, we were at Westside and preached at a Filipino church there, and then last week I was at Croydon. But there's nothing better than coming back home. And I always love coming back to Wantirna. Although I was just kind of feeling my nervousness. I feel very nervous today for some reason. And maybe that's the Holy Spirit, I'm not sure. But it's not because I get nervous in front of Wantirna. I consider you guys family. But it may be the message that is on my heart today. I just want to welcome those who have come, maybe for the first time, some faces I haven't seen in a while. Also, faces that I can't see online, I want to welcome you too. You're also part of this family as well. As you know, we've been going through a series called The Pillars of God. The Pillars of God has been the series. And we've gone through two segments of that series so far. Now, it is based on Exodus and a particular part in Exodus which we will go over. But my two very capable colleagues have gone through the first two. One was mercy, and the other one was patience. These are characteristics of who God is. And today we're going to be looking at the third in the Bible verse, which is God's loyal love. But before we get in and we start having a prayer, I just want to show you this book here. Now, you may have walked past this in the foyer, but there are a bunch of books. We have boxes full of these books. Now, this is the abridged copy of The Great Controversy. And if you've ever read The Great Controversy, you know it's definitely not that thin, right? It's quite a big book, and it does take a while to get through. If you've never read The Great Controversy, please go ahead. It is a great book. But the Global Church has made it their mission to actually put these books into the letterboxes of as many people as they can across the world, and they have reached our shores. So, if you have a heart for evangelism, if you know of people who would benefit from a book like this, it's definitely a smaller version of The Great Controversy, and it's in a modern-day language. If you do want to take some, please go ahead. We have a whole pile full out the front on the table. Take them. If you want to read it, go for it, but it is meant to be shared. All right, this book here is this size for a reason, so it can fit into letterboxes or be given, putting in your purse. So please, when you have a chance, go ahead and do that. We're just going to start with a word of prayer. I want to thank you, Ben, for that great prayer as well, but this does send to me, so let's just invite the Holy Spirit again as we jump into this series. Father in heaven, Lord, we just want to thank you so much for your Sabbath. And we want to thank you for who you are. We are going through this series because we want to bring light to your character. Because we know that the devil's job is to throw dirt at it. We want to shine that light on you, Lord. And we want to be able to tell people who you really are. And so, Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit's leading today. May your words bless my mouth. And again, as always, may it not be Dan here, but Lord, may it be you standing here for Wantirna Church as we continue to talk about you as our prayer in your name. Amen. Now, another exciting thing that's happened that you probably are not aware of because this is kind of the background things, but notice how this is wireless and there's no HDMI cord running off the iPad. Now, there are small things that make me happy. This is one of them. But somebody has graciously given us an Apple TV that goes down there. And so everyone with Apple products gets to enjoy the magic of wireless technology. And it's very exciting because all your pastors have Apple products, so I can walk around to the detriment of the cameraman, and I've got the little headset, which is nice, because this is how I naturally preach. I used to do this, and then I got tethered to the podium because they told me to stop walking around, but I'm doing it again. I'm so sorry. It's very exciting to do that. Now, the pillars of God. I want to show you the verse. It's Exodus 34, verses 5 to 6. Jump into your Bibles, please. Grab your Bibles. Get them in your hands. It's so important for you to know what the Word of God is saying in your Bible. And get your highlighters. If you don't like to do that, then write on the side as a journal. But Exodus 34, verses 5 to 6 is our main text and has been for the last 2 weeks. And if you know the context of Exodus 34, you'll know
that this is just after Moses had found out about the Israelites worshipping a golden calf, and he got angry, he threw the tablets of stone, and he redid it at the start of this chapter. And then we get this verse on the character of God, and it says this: "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.'" Now you, if you were a keen eagle eye, would notice that every pastor, Josh and then Wendy and myself, have used a different translation of this verse. Some have used the New King James, and you could probably look in your own Bible what it says to you. But I'll tell you why the translations all differ. And we'll get to that in the first place. But I want you to watch this, church. Oh man, that makes me so happy. Look at that. There are four things that really come out as those characteristics of God: mercifulness, slow to anger, steadfast love, and faithfulness. But we've already gone through the top two. So we're left with steadfast love and faithfulness. And those are the two topics that I have been entrusted to bring to you as a church. And so we're going to go through those together. Now, those two characteristics of God can actually be very similar. The steadfast love of God and faithfulness, you could almost put in one together and it would almost mean the same thing. But we're going to do a bit of a Hebrew word study. And you'll notice that these two words, if you know your Hebrew, which I'm looking around and I'm not sure anyone here knows their Hebrew. Jeff, you know your Hebrew? Okay, yes. All right, well, maybe you can come up and speak on this because I might get it wrong. Steadfast love is one word in Hebrew, and it is spelt like this: chesed. Chesed, can you say that? No, I want to hear the ha. Chesed, yes, thank you. And emet is how you say faithfulness. I'm going to make you say that next time I speak. But today we're going to be focusing on chesed. Now, I have done a lot of research on this particular word. And the reason why I've done a lot of research is because I have to come up with a confession. When I was in college, there are two streams of education to get to becoming a pastor. There's the 4-year bachelor's degree, and there's the 2-year postgraduate degree. Now, do you know which one I took? The 2 years, right? So you've got a half a pastor. And the reason why they make it 2 years, because they assume with the previous knowledge and experience you've had that they can kind of skip a few things. But guess what subject they skip in the postgrad? Hebrew. So I'm so sorry. I have to say that I am not a Hebrew scholar. When I jump into the New Testament, I know a lot more about the Greek. In fact, I know Greek so well, I did it twice because I failed the first time. But that's okay, right? So I know Greek quite well. But Hebrew is a very, very hard language, because one thing that I have learned, and those who have done Hebrew will tell me this, is that nothing is certain in Hebrew. In fact, one thing that they do among the rabbis, and this is just an example, is that they will answer a question with another question, because they're not all about the answers like we are. They're actually more about the journey. And so when you get a word like chesed, it's actually quite funny at how many translations are there for this one word in the English translation. In fact, some of the translations are as follows: mercy and kindness, his love, his covenant love, his steadfast love. In fact, there are so many translations, you might even read in your own Bible something different. And it actually makes this word even more beautiful. See, if I asked you to tell me, how do you describe or how do you feel love? Do you think that everyone here would give me the same definition? No. You would give me experiences that you've had where you've experienced love. You might actually tell me love's a person, love's a feeling, love's an action. Do you see how there's these kind of multifaceted ways of describing one language or one word? In fact, the word love in English is such a bad word because in one sentence, you can say, I love my wife and I love my children unconditionally. And then you can, in the same sentence, in the same breath, say, and I also love chocolate. Can you see how the one word is trying to describe this deep, unerring love for your people that you love the most, and then love for a snack? Do you see how the word does not really encapsulate what it's truly trying to say? And so here we have chesed, which is exactly the same. In fact, in the New King James alone, one translation, there are 14 different ways to translate that one word. And so we are trying to grapple with a word that maybe even the Hebrews don't really understand and translate it into the English. But if there is one phrase that I actually like the best, and I've said it before, it's the start of the sermon, is loyal love. And we're going to talk about why loyal love is why I chose that phrase out of all the translations, why I think that encapsulates chesed the best. But I want to show you some examples. Can you please turn to Psalms 136? And yes, I'm asking you to look at a full chapter. I won't get you to read it. It is quite a long chapter. But when you get to it, Psalm 136, you may realize that it repeats itself quite often. Psalm 136, you may have even heard it being sung. It's actually a song that was written by King David himself. Now, as I'm hearing those pages turn, I just want to give you some context. This song was sung at the dedication of Solomon's temple. So it was actually quite an important song, and it was also sung by the priests when they wanted to give thanks to God quite often during the year. Now, I want you to have a look at the chapter that you're in, Psalm 136. Is it repeating itself? Yes. Now, I want to ask a question. Who here has a New King James version? Anyone? No one's got a New King James. All right, let's try a different translation. What about ESV? Who's got an ESV translation? All right, Rick, can you tell me what phrase is getting repeated in your version? Steadfast love endures forever. Okay, who's got a New Living Translation? All right, Kara Lee, can you read out yours? What is it repeating? Faithful love endures forever. Faithful love. Okay. NIV, anyone got an NIV translation? All right. Helena, yes. What does yours say? So it's just love. Okay, so that's really simple. Right? And the rest of you just don't want to put your hand up. That's fine. I get it. I'm sure. Oh, Gosha, what have you got? New King James, go for it. What does yours say?
And his mercy endures forever.
His mercy. So now that's very different. We've had versions of love, and now we have mercy. So yes, mercy, love endures, faithful love, steadfast love. In that chapter, chesed, which is the word that's being used, is being repeated 26 times over and over and over again. But you will notice, no matter what translation you have, it says the same thing. His chesed will endure forever. And that's the point of this chapter. The reason why they use this as the dedication of the temple is to remind everyone that the reason why they have the temple in the first place, or we could translate church, is to glorify his chesed, right? His love, his mercy, his the other versions, faithful love, steadfast love. I want to show you some other verses in Psalm. Psalms 90 verse 14 says, "Oh, satisfy us early with your chesed, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." His chesed, his love, is meant to bring you up in the morning and carry you through for the whole day. What about another one in Psalm 63 verse 3? "Because your chesed is better than life, my lips shall praise you." How often can you say that something is better than life itself? And yet we have here this characteristic of God, this loyal love, is actually better than life itself. But one of the best ways to understand this is actually in the New Testament, where the word isn't even mentioned because it's written in Greek. I want you to turn to Ephesians 3 for me. We're going to finish up this word study. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. And I want you, if you have not already, to highlight, to however you want to, make a note that this is a very important text in your Bible. Ephesians 3, verses 17 to 19. And it starts off like this. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints that is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes all understanding and knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, if you haven't noticed already, the point of chesed, even though we've got so many different translations, is not that it's multi-translational, but that it's multi-dimensional. Can you see that? The width and the height and the depth and the length of God's love. Notice that there are four measurements, which makes it in the fourth dimension, which actually surpasses our three dimensions. In other words, the idea of what God's love is not meant to be understood, because it's the whole point of who God is. This is supposed to transcend anything that we understand and be in a different reality than what we know. In fact, you could argue that the whole Bible is actually talking about God's chesed. Now, we've done the Bible word study, and I actually want to tell you why I'd named it loyal love instead of the other types of translations. Why did I choose loyal love to kind of encapsulate the best what chesed is? And that's because of this word here, loyalty. Loyalty is very, very important to everyone that lives on this earth. Companies will spend billions and billions of dollars just to make sure that they keep you in their company. Did you know that? All of the advertisements and all of the different things that you see online is to make you feel a certain emotion towards a company. Now, you may know that if you go on TV or you're on YouTube or whatever else and they show you those ads, have you ever played the game, I wonder what product they're trying to sell? Have you ever played that before? Yeah, so you watch an ad, and if you've never seen it before, you sit back and you see if you can pick what they're trying to sell before the end. It's a really interesting game to play. But you'll notice that more and more, you're completely off. Right? There was one where I was sitting back, and it was this woman and a man, they're laying down on the beach, and they're enjoying each other's company, and then they were just seeing the boats go past, and everything was all relaxing. And then right at the end, it was insurance. And I thought, why would insurance be trying to do that? Well, they're not actually trying to sell the product. They're trying to sell the vision of their company so that whenever you see the company's logo, you think of beaches and relaxing and you go, I'm going to be loyal to that company. I'm going to ask a question because, again, you guys know I used to work for Telstra and Telstra works a lot on loyalty. Put your hand up if you've been with Telstra for more than 10 years. I knew it was going to be a lot of hands. More than 20 years. Wow. More than my age, 30. Wow. Now, maybe I won't ask this question because I'll step back. But the people that put their hand up, I'm not surprised that you've been with Telstra for a long time because a lot of their bottom line relies on loyalty. Right? The other companies, Optus, Vodafone, Dodo, Amazon, all the other ones, they rely on giving you the best value for money. So you notice the ads they'll show is, you know, $40 for 100 gig or whatever it is, right? But you never see Telstra do that, right? What are Telstra's ads all about? Freedom, you know, going out and connecting with people, with loved ones. You see pictures of you know, especially after COVID, they really push the connection thing with their advertisements. Because they're trying to push this idea of loyalty. You know, one of the biggest, the companies that use loyalty? Qantas. You notice that? I remember when COVID was just about at the end at 2021, and bam, they had an ad that would just hit you in the feels. I think I showed it before, where it was connecting with family. And you don't really connect Qantas too much with price. You more connect it with the national carrier, more of this emotion. Everyone's got emotions towards those big companies. But they're trying to sell you loyalty. In fact, lawyers earn their most money on disloyalty. Do you know that? They get so much money dealing with marriages that fall apart and friends that fall out of favor and business partners that fall. And they try to kind of get as much money as they can from both sides. This idea of loyalty is so important. And when it comes to loyalty, it's interesting because when I think of loyalty, I think of this, right? Who's a dog person in the church? You're my type of people. Good. Now, when it comes to dogs, why are dogs man's best friend? Why are they so loved? Why do they always look happy? What's the number one thing you think of when it comes to dogs? Stupid. Not stupid. Loyalty, right? You know that it doesn't matter what you've done during your day, whether you've had a hard day or a good day, or what kind of baggage you bring back home, you know that your dog will be waiting for you and will be giving you all the love that you need. Dogs are so amazing, they don't care what you're doing, who you are, they just want to love on you. Now, in contrast, who's not like that? Oh, cats. Now, what do cats do? They don't care about your feelings. They don't care whether you've had a bad day. It's all about them, right? They're hungry, so feed me, right? I've been waiting for you this whole day. Where have you been? Why don't you come here and do what I want you to do? They will come to you when they are ready. If you've had a bad day and you need a bit of a pat, who knows, your cat might be next door trying to find some food or doing their own thing. They may have gone for a week-long holiday, who knows, right? But they're not waiting for you at the door to give you love. Now, of course, I love cats. I love dogs more, but I do love cats. And I love using them as an example because cats are not necessarily loyal. It's probably not the word that you would use for cats. Dogs are loyal to the bone. And it's so interesting that we love these animals because of that loyalty that they will give you. The reason why loyalty is so important is because you cannot have a good friendship without knowing that that person has got your back. Now, I want to be very frank with you. I've had in my lifetime, in my 30 years of life, a few little highlights in my life that I think of when loyalty happened and when it didn't. And they're actually my favorite memories and my worst memories. I think I've shared this before, and I'll say it very quickly. You know, when Maritza and I got married, the day after we got married, we're about to leave to Bali and have our honeymoon, and I get a text message from one of my best friends, and he says, I don't want to be friends with you anymore, right? Now, that really does hurt, right? Because timing and all of that kind of stuff, and he's in our photos with our wedding and everything. And those types of things, you think, they hit you here, right? They bypass all of this, and they hit the heart. But that's actually not the thing that hurt me the most. The first thing that I think of when it comes to loyalty that's broken was actually my first girlfriend when I was 14 years old. Now, we all remember our first, our relationship. And when you're young and you're 14, everything that happens in that space is the biggest thing that could possibly happen, right? And I remember it was this beautiful young girl. She's next door neighbor, and she was also at my school. And we're in the same grade. And I fell in love with her. I pulled out all the guns. I got on my knees. I got God on my side. And I said, Lord, if you give me this girl, I will serve you forever. And he gave the girl to me for 3 months, which is a long-term relationship when you're 14. And in that time, it was the greatest and worst time of my life because it only took a month. And then I started hearing rumors about her and another man. And when you're 14, you've never understood this feeling before of jealousy and hurt and pain. It's all very new and it's very painful. And I remember in my third month, thinking that things weren't going the best, I asked her straight, I said, do you like this other guy? She said, no, of course not. Don't be silly. Anyway, we broke up. The next day, I was walking past the bus stop and I saw her in another man's arms. It is tough when you're 14 to go through that type of stuff, right? And the fact that it all came back, all of the things that she told me when we were in a relationship wasn't necessarily true at all, and I didn't have her loyalty, and she was actually saying the wrong things to me, it felt even more sore in my heart. Loyalty is so important when it comes to us trying to survive and have that carefree attitude of loving life. If you know that your husband or wife has your back, you can attack the world. I've always said that pastors who are the most successful have a really great wife or husband, right? In other words, when you come home from whatever you have to do in your profession, if you come home to a house where you know you've got the loyalty and you've got that person on your side, it makes all of the difference. Now, there's a reason why I'm bringing this up. Because there's a whole book in the Bible called the Book of Hosea. Have you heard the Book of Hosea before? If you haven't, jump to it right now because we're going to have a look at a story that will kind of give us an understanding of loyalty and understand God's loyal love and really get into this mindset. So turn to the book of Hosea. We'll be looking at the first chapter. I'll give you some time. It's one of the minor prophets, almost at the end of the Old Testament. I have so much respect for Hosea because he probably went through almost as much as Job did. Now, I'd say Job a little bit more, but Hosea went through a lot. And we're going to be looking at Hosea 1, verse 2, just to get an understanding of what he had to go through in this book. Hosea 1, verse 2 starts like this. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, "Go and marry a prostitute, so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshipping other gods." Now, that's the second verse in a chapter, and it gives you all you really need to know as to what Hosea had to go through. Now, can you put yourself just in his shoes for a moment? Not only did he have to marry someone who was, in that culture, the worst of the worst, that would bring shame to his name immediately to the family. Not only did he have to marry her, but he had to bear her children, and those children had to have that reputation attached. Now, back in that day, that was everything. And the idea of marrying this type of person was not the best thing to do. In fact, if you keep reading the verses, you'll notice that God tells Hosea the names of the children. So he didn't even have the choice of the names. And look at the names. Your first son is named Jezreel. Why? Because that's where God will destroy Israel. Okay, that's not a very romantic name. The next one is going to be a daughter. Her name is going to be Lo-Ruhamah. And you know what that means? Not loved. Wow. Number three, Lo-Ami. What does that mean? You're not my people. What kind of names are they to name your children? Number one is the name of the place where God will destroy Israel. Number two is to say you're not loved. And number three is you're not my people. Could you imagine being that child, being named and identified with God's disappointment of his people? That would have been really hard for Hosea. In fact, to add to the pain and suffering that he had to go through, he had to wake up every morning not knowing whether Gomer, who was the wife, was going to be next to him in bed. Because there are many instances we hear of Gomer leaving and going and cheating on Hosea constantly, maybe because it's her profession and she was used to it. Maybe there were other things attached. But for Hosea to not have loyalty from his wife would have been really difficult to take. In fact, I read that Hosea didn't even know whether the children that he had were his. Can you imagine the hurt and pain Hosea had to go through every single day, that even his family was a reminder of this disloyalty? Now, if you keep reading the story, Gomer goes off. She does some bad things and she ends up a slave, basically. And then God comes to Hosea and says to him, "Go and buy her back and also forgive her." Now, I want you just to think about that for a moment. Imagine that maybe back in the day when you were younger, you had a girlfriend or a boyfriend who kept constantly cheating on you all the time. Just constantly, one after another, after another. And then you hear that he or she gets caught up in some weird stuff, maybe with a gang or whatever else, and they're asking for a few thousand dollars. Now you ask your friends and you say, "Should I do it?" And I don't think any friend would tell you, yes, number one, put up the money for her or him, but number two, go back and forgive them and get in a relationship with him again. And yet God tells a prophet that he needs to forgive Gomer and also pay the ransom. Now, I don't know whether you can feel that kind of injustice in your heart, because if that happened to me, I could tell you that it would be a very hard struggle to get to that point. Someone who you care, who constantly breaks your heart, and you're told you need to forgive them. It would be a really tough ask. Now, I want you to just feel that anger, that sense of justice, that sense of pain and suffering in your heart. And I want you to times that by 1,000, because that's how God feels every single day. Do you know that, church? This is where God's loyal love comes into play. This is why God is so amazing. It's because every single day his people keep cheating on him. Every single day. And we do it. We turn away, we make a decision that's not godly, or we do something that will make him feel sad. And then we have to go back and, with the tail between our legs, ask for forgiveness. And God, every single time, forgives us and wants us back. And loves us with all his heart. Isn't that amazing? Because I really want you to feel the feeling of being cheated, having disloyalty to you, and then understanding times it by 7 billion, and every single day God throughs that pain. It's very tough to understand what God goes through. And we know that the logical thing in all of this, if it happened to us, we would say, don't bother. Don't forgive them. They'll cheat on you again. It's in their nature. And yet God comes back every single time. In fact, in verse 10 of that same chapter, it's so amazing seeing this. God says, yet the time will come when Israel's people will be like the sands of the seashore, too many to count. Then at the place where you were told, you are not my people, it will be said, you are children of the living God. In the same chapter, God shows his chesed, his loyal love. The story of Hosea is quite literally the story of the Bible. The idea that his people, Adam and Eve, decided to go against God and be disloyal to him. He created the world. He did everything for them and they still did not listen. And from that point on up to the end of the world, he's showing his chesed, his loyal love. No matter what you do, God will always be there to accept you. It actually gives you more credence to the verse that we read in Exodus 34, 5 and 6. Because as I told you before, it says in verse 1, then the Lord told Moses, chisel out two stone tablets like the first one. I will write on them the same words that were on the tablets you smashed. I don't think you realize how merciful and patient, but also how loyal God was in this scenario. He had just rescued his people from Egypt. He had split the Red Sea. He had showed the biggest miracle that could ever happen in front of their eyes. And it didn't even take a month until the Israelites turned on him and created a golden calf. Moses went up the mountain to grab this covenant law for them because God wanted to love on them. And before he could even share the Ten Commandments with his people, they were already cheating on him. Already. And this moment here in Exodus 34, we see God's love again and again and again. Not only was he going to make two new stone tablets, but he was going to forgive them. And we hear later that he was going to bless them. So I want to read that verse again with that context. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a merciful and gracious Lord, slow to anger and abounding in loyal love and faithfulness. We do not deserve God's chesed. We don't. We don't deserve the loyalty that he gives us because time and time again, we are Gomer to Hosea. We are the woman that keeps cheating on our husband. And yet he, God, keeps forgiving us and loving us and hopes for us to be better. And I love this statement. Chesed is this: when the person whom I should expect nothing gives me everything. Church family, I hope that you can understand this idea of loyal love and how deep and how high and how long and how wide his love can be. Because he did it 6,000 years ago. He did it when Jesus came in the form of God to give his chesed to us with his life. Remember that Hosea had to go and buy Gomer with an amount of money because she was not worth anything. She couldn't buy her own freedom. She couldn't ask to be able to work off it because she was a slave forever. She was lost. And yet Hosea came and bought her freedom. Jesus did exactly the same thing for us. He paid the price. And he paid the price with his own blood and his body. And he asks in return to just love him. He knows that we're going to fail time and time again, that we're going to always cheat on him and go back and then come back for forgiveness. He knows that, but he still loves us anyway. And I want to just leave with you this idea of chesed, is that it has nothing to do with us at all, but it's all about him. See, regardless of how we were going to treat him, and we see this with the Israelites because they kept pushing him back and cheating on him and doing bad things, God stayed the same. And he gave his love regardless of if you were going to give it back or not. His chesed, his loyal love, is what fuels us to follow him and to give everything that we have to him. Let us remember that God loved us so that we could love him. And I pray for Winterna and those online and anyone who's listening to just remember how loyal and how amazing God truly is, especially in those times where we feel kind of wonky in our faith, or maybe we might see God in a different light in the Old Testament. He's the same today, tomorrow, and forever. God bless.